time for Shady Business.
Shady Business.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Featuring Ryan from Specs.
That's me.
Starring special guest from the Saskatchewan Rough Riders office, Russell Kovshoff, Director of Game Entertainment and Events.
He's the man.
Maybe.
In a world.
For one man, one option. Ryan, with these amazing glasses of glory, can see invisible naked people.
It's marvelous. That's my world. Russ.
Hello.
Gesundheit. Nice
to
meet you.
At least you're not the Blue Jay spelling it with K-O-C. It's not Kochshoff, it's Kochshoff.
Cheers and welcome to Shady Business, my man.
Appreciate it.
I am so excited. Welcome everyone. We've got a treat today. We're gonna have a lot of fun today. Russ is got stories galore of all sorts of types and things. And first of all, who the hell are you?
So I'm 28 years old. I'm from Toronto, Ontario, born and raised. I apologize to everybody from Saskatchewan that has had a bad experience with somebody from Toronto who thinks they own the world. I promise you, I'm not that guy. Forgive me. I have worked in sports entertainment since I was 12 years old, actually, and now I find myself here as a director of game entertainment events for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. And,
cool.
It's been great, yeah.
Cool, man.
Yeah.
Cool.
Thank
cool.
You.
That's, we're going to get into the backstory and stuff in a second here, but
yeah.
Of course, this is called Shady Business, so we are, you know, an eyewear-based podcast, so we should probably get right to the shady business, shady part. And
shady.
You are where? Yes.
Shady business.
That's the shadiest shady business I've ever heard. And you are wearing quite a killer pair of shades right now.
I love these.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah? Like, they feel good. And, like, when you were bringing me through the store, I gotta tell you, like, I'm that kind of guy who likes not wearing the same thing as everybody else. Like,
right.
You see everybody with the Ray-Bans, and I say this wholeheartedly.
Mm-hmm.
And you walk into, like, a sunglass hut, which I always go to, because I always want to go, you know, have a nice pair of fresh sunglasses.
Right.
And it's always the same, like, it's always the same brands, or it doesn't really fit me, or the experience isn't that great, or it's the same stuff. And it's hard to find, I think, like, a really nice, unique pair of glasses.
Right.
And even from the experience you just, like, gave me, I was honestly, like, I was kind of shook that there's these designs,
mm-hmm.
even locally here in Regina.
Right.
You really wouldn't think, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's what we do.
Yeah.
That's, you know, we try to give you a different experience and different, you know, outlook on things. And
I feel like a little, like, you know, I feel like a...
Yeah? You feeling it?
I'm feeling it.
Now, you said before, you know, they feel really good.
Yeah.
Right? So, there's no secret that Specs by Ryan, we'll just say our unofficial motto is, if it feels good, do it.
Got it.
So, I mean, that's what we go by. And welcome to that motto.
Thank you.
If we can, you know. So, those are called Kazal. And probably have a nice shot up close of them right now. And look at this guy. He is money. This is big TO money in Saskatchewan right now, folks.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yeah, yeah. He commands respect. He commands attention or something like that.
I sometimes when you want to feel good when you get dressed or when you show up to work or you manage people, right? So, or you just want to feel like when you're with your friends or any just in any social setting that you can just be mm-hmm. confident. And I feel like whether you're wearing a nice pair of pants, shirt, the sunglasses are you know, a statement in a way. And I believe that. I like wearing sunglasses that really, I don't know, I think showcase me, I guess.
What's really fascinating that literally we just learned moments ago, folks, is Russell is an actor on the side as well. He's just learned how to do all these voices or something. And, you know, when you put the shades on, do you not feel that you just become a character of sorts of something bigger or larger than life?
Which is funny because I portrayed a mascot for the Toronto Rock and the NLL called Iggy, and he wore a pair of sunglasses. And when you're behind a mascot mask, it really like... It's funny when you're talking about the sunglasses, I do feel like that. It's a kind of added level of confidence, especially when you believe, like, when you feel a certain way about what you're wearing.
Right.
So you can walk in a room and just have that, you know, your chest a little bit bigger. And it's not like the douchebag, like, hey, like, you know, look at me, man. Yeah. Like, no, it's just more just a natural confidence.
Right.
Especially if you're, like, a good person generally. So.
Yeah, man. Yeah. So it just all ties in together, man. That's so cool. So what were your perceptions of eyewear before we showed you around, you know,
a lot of it seems like cookie cutter, you know, like you walk into Sunglass Hut under the bus, but a Sunglass Hut, or like, you know, you go to a mall and you walk into like a Bay or whatever, and you're kind of looking for something different. I always like being unique to an extent. Like if I see a watch that I really like, that's different, that people don't have,
right.
That I feel kind of represents me and my style. Right. I'm going to be like, oh yeah, that's cool. I find it really difficult when you're shopping for sunglasses or even glasses in general. I don't wear glasses, to find something that really like sticks out to you, especially with like the way my face is like weird shaped. I don't know.
Actually, no, it's quite easy to find a lot of styles that look really good on you. Okay. And you're not used to seeing yourself in glasses. Things took a little time to become comfortable with that image in the mirror that you're seeing that was just not what you're used to.
Yeah.
We're going to get into this as well a little bit later, but you were put a little bit in, you know, out of your comfort zone. You know, you're used to certain things, and there was some ideas presented to you to challenge you.
Right.
And so the sunglasses, again, to me, are a slam dunk. I saw it right away. You actually got onto those ones right away too. Yeah. And it's a beautiful thing when I see it, but also the client sees it as well. Yes. And that you were open to that. Now here was the other frame we saw, that really looked great on you.
I'm about to feel naked taking.
Yeah, exactly.
Off.
Don't look, everyone. Feel naked. Yeah. Look away. Look away.
I think I have nice eyes. I don't know.
So that was Kazal. And now this one is one of our ultra luxury collections called Chrome Hearts. And this one also looked super sharp and natural on you, as though you've worn it forever, and unique, different, but not overbearing, but also badass.
Yeah. Like these are, I think I was mentioning to you when you showed me these, and I just put them on and I just felt more, I felt sophisticated. You know, as somebody who doesn't need a prescription, luckily, I guess I got the 20/20 luck, but, regardless, like I never really have had to have glasses. Mm-hmm. And for me, you put these on and you're like, wow, these actually feel different in a more interesting way. I don't know how to explain it, but it's just like, it elevates like my fashion sense in a way. I don't know if that makes any.
Well, you put a watch on, it's an accessory.
Yeah.
You don't need it, but you know, it's nice to have. And the same thing for you in this case, where you put on this accessory on your face and you know it just changes things that much. It's that detail, it's that extra. And I'm very proud of that.
I really like
too.
This frame here too. Like, it's just unique. You don't see that. Usually it's like a flat frame, but they sit so well on me. I think even you were commenting how they sit lower.
Right.
And with my nose, which is super flat. And you know, it's
you've got a little bit of a wider bridge, which a lot of guys have. They have a wider bridge and a lower brow. So whenever they try glasses on, they're going to look kind of like this, where the brows are inside the frame and it just looks so squished up high. And so what we're always looking for is how we can find the bridge fit where everything could drop low, sit at the brow and just look natural. And you look damn smart, man.
Like, oh,
so,
thank you.
You know, everyone get out of his way. He's coming through.
Hey, you know, C's will get you. No, I'm just kidding. C's get you crease. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. Okay, so that's really cool. And again, why I really wanted to talk to you today and have you on, you know, come on board this Shady Business. That's right.
Every time we talk about Shady Business, that'll be what that'll be the voice I do. Movie narrator voice.
Movie trailer coming soon. We're not having a movie. We'll just do a trailer. How does that sound? Hey, Scott, can we do that? He says we can do it.
Every time. Scotty, you're the man.
Scotty's the man. He's behind the scenes.
Make me look good, Scotty.
Yeah, he's making us all look good and sound great. You even smell good. I don't know, man. Like,
oh, thank you.
Just so our viewers and listeners can.
Diesel.
Scott, not so sure. It's been a long day, Scott.
Oh, no.
So,
are you a Gillette kind of deodorant guy, Scott? Or like a, not like the stick, like the liquid? Lush. You're the Lush.
Oh, yes. Oh. He's got a connection with Lush, so he's, you know.
Made my nose tingle. I had to itch my nose.
Perhaps a little homeopathic. right.
Smells fresh. He's
delightful.
Good.
Delightful. Yep. So, again, why I really wanted to talk to you. You have a million stories, you know, and I'm every time we get together, I'm just like,
you know, I don't get in trouble. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. And yeah. There's stuff that we cannot definitely repeat. But yeah. but overall, you from what? OK, we're going to get to why you came here. But
okay.
You were, in essence, I understand, headhunted from by the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, poached. They poached you from the Toronto Raptors to head up, what would you call your title again?
It's game entertainment events, or, you know, in the industry, game presentation. So, like, production of the games and our events.
So, when anybody goes to a Saskatchewan Rough Rider game, what do they notice that you've done when they go to a game?
So, there's a lot of pieces that go into what we do. Mm-hmm. On any given game day, we have two events happening at the same time. One is a game day, and next is our party in the park.
Right.
So it's creating that pregame tailgate experience for fans, for families, where they can come together, have a couple drinks. You know, the kids can play a bunch of different sports. We have a bunch of stuff for drills for them. We have our cheerleaders teaching dances, so, you know, young kids, boys and girls, can come learn how to dance and drum with our drum line and see our new hip hop group from this past year, you know, break it down, bust a move, and right. then just engage with our community before a game and get people excited before the game. And it's a, kind of like a gathering place where everybody can come together. So that's the first element of a game day.
Cool.
Then as soon as you walk into the doors of Mosaic Stadium, from the music to what's on the Maxtron, the SaskTel Maxtron, to what we're doing on the field, all right. those pieces and elements fall under my responsibility.
Cool.
So on a given game day, I have 150 folks who do report to me. We have lots of great team leads who take care of that. We also have folks who don't fall under me. We have an amazing volunteer team, an amazing volunteer leadership from within the club. Rob Harrison's our volunteer coordinator. Like, these are people who volunteer their time on our rider squad, and they make game days happen. Mm-hmm. The ushers, those folks. And believe it or not, like, if you look at Toronto or the Raptors, those folks are getting paid. Like, these are people who are in paid positions. And
right.
here, people are so passionate about the Riders that they come and spend time and to feel attached to the club like that. It's fantastic.
Cool.
So pretty much all the funny videos you've seen on a game day. So I right. know Jamming with the Riders was really big this year. That's a big piece we wanted to bring.
Yes.
We brought a lot of new change to Rough Rider games. I think
right.
when you come to a market like Regina, naturally, this is a place that – this is heritage. The Riders
right.
are heritage. So anything you do where – you are changing something or elevating can provide a little bit of hesitation from a fan base. But the one thing we wanted to do was integrate new ideas and let the fans decide for themselves, hey, does that resonate with me? Is that funny?
Right.
And once we had provided them some examples, i.e. Jamming with the Riders, when we started with our first one, which was These Eyes, which, believe it or not, I know you had Charleston here recently.
Yes, yeah.
He opened that for us.
The second best defensive end in the CFL.
Nah, man. What are you talking about? No. I love Charleston. And he literally got in front of a camera and sang, "Ladies and gentlemen, this is Saskatchewan Rough Riders." And he goes, "These Eyes." And it was, that's the moment I realized when we had the guys buying into lip singing that, that we could do player features to a whole nother level in Saskatchewan and allow our fans to see our players from outside their helmets and showcasing their personalities, which is huge for us.
Absolutely.
So that's one of the pieces we brought. We brought a new hip hop team in. Like, I know I'm kind of going off on a tangent here.
No, it's good.
But everything is very strategic when you come to a rider game.
Yes.
We're trying to build out, you know, we changed a lot last year.
Right.
We learned a lot, you know, we learned that we need to be, how we need to continue to develop our game day. We need to be more structured from
right.
our pregame.
Mm-hmm.
We need to offer our fans, you know, our fans who love football. I love football. Like, I played football in university for 5 years. I love the stats. We need more stats. We want to give those focus fans who come for a lot of football,
right.
that attention to detail with stats,
those
and what's
oddball
on.
Stats that on every Tuesday since, you know, 1902, so-and-so has the most yardage on 3 o'clock or whatever, right?
Like, but that is a great example of how engaged Rough Rider
yes.
fans are.
Yeah.
And so that's something we're working on now. and we're going to do a lot more of that. We're building that out further.
Cool.
And then the next piece is taking some successes from the year and elevating and polishing. So we brought in a Rider Flow dance crew, mm-hmm. which is 40 kids from Saskatoon who are super talented hip hop dancers. We changed our cheerleading team to more fusion. So we have a splash of stunting, a world champion baton twirler
yes,
on our team.
Yes, she was amazing.
Jasmine,
yes.
Fantastic. A lot of the girls, new leadership for that team as well.
Right.
A drum line, which we're
couple new cameramen on the sidelines too, I heard.
You guys. And these guys, and Scott over there.
Yeah.
And you guys have been fantastic shooting our girls.
Oh,
like,
stop it.
Like, no, but like even just the camera work and the shots with limited resources. So I appreciate it. It's fantastic.
Thank you.
But we're doing more of that. And we're also trying to provide our fans with more content. We have an amazing Rider Media team. They do all these social poll pushes and a bunch of different content they produce with the whole team, football ops. And they're getting that, like, you know, Hard Knocks quality content.
Mm-hmm.
And then on my end, we're doing the fan forward, lots of funny stuff that is for a game day, which you can only see when you come to a Rider game. Mm-hmm. So I think we're on a good path, mm-hmm. and you're going to see a lot more elevation at a Rider game upcoming. But there's a lot of pieces that I'm involved with,
right.
from video production to the control room. I'm sitting up in the control room show calling. This year we had a lot of close games.
Right.
So we keep our fourth quarter and our set. Let me just talk about strategy.
Sure.
So you're a football fan, right?
Absolutely.
So when you come to a Rider game, what's the one thing you love most?
The atmosphere, the crowd interaction. I'm an emotional person.
Yeah.
So for example, national anthem, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. When you just get jacked up when the game's about to start, the opening kickoff and the boom and when they score a touchdown, the fireworks.
Yeah.
That I like emotion.
Good.
Yeah.
Which is awesome because we did buy that the biggest Canadian flag in sports, which we are super proud of.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to use that as much as we can this year.
The nicest flag.
It's huge.
In the world.
It is bigger.
Nice.
Like the Blue Jays had one that was the biggest. And then we said to the company, we want one bigger. And they're like, we made it bigger. Not a lot bigger, but it's bigger. So we know that. We're proud of it. And we're excited about it, too. So
cool.
When you're talking about emotion, that's huge because my job is to capture that emotion. So when you come to a Rider game, in the games, there's 18 timeouts. That's TV timeouts. You're talking a minute 50. You have 16 minute 50 timeouts, and you have two minutes and 20-second timeouts. Mm-hmm. Those are quarter breaks, the 220s. And you have to program your content in that time. To give you an idea of a Toronto Raptors game, you have 10 timeouts, or sorry, 8 timeouts. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
To actually program, script, come up with great partner activations. So we have 18. We have a lot of content to fill,
right. Yeah.
But we need to be strategic on where we're filling it. So the first half, we focus on a lot of games.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about shuffles. We did a Kinexus game this year of Get the Green. We would do a lot more of like the things where we're giving fans specific items.
Right.
We want to get those types of things out of the way because that's the business and it's still fun. But in the second half, people care more about the game, especially
true.
When we have a competitive team.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when we focus on more of the interactive pieces, the high energy stuff. And that's where the party really elevates, especially in the second half.
Ah, cool. So it's all subliminal, though.
It is.
Now that we know, mm-hmm. I'll look out for that.
And all the music. Mm-hmm. Like the music when it's being played, like, and so anyways, we opened up the fourth quarter last year where we said, okay, we have to do like some 50-50 stuff, whatever, but we left it open. And then you see on these long drives, for example, if you're at the Labor Day game with Brett Lawther before, when they were driving down, or the Montreal game, we're literally doing things on the fly. We're playing specific music at specific times, like a Rocky track when our team is coming back on the field and we need the game-winning drive, and you want to give everybody the drama and get
yes.
them into
yeah.
it
yeah.
and then feel like, oh, this is our moment.
Yes.
And that's what we want to do, evoke emotion.
That's amazing.
And that's the fourth quarter. And then it's from music. And then, you know, I think the Montreal game, we played a clip from We Are Marshall. It's Matthew McConaughey's speech
oh,
where he's
wow.
like, you have the heart And with your heart, I guarantee we will not lose this game. Immediately after that play, Cody Fajardo threw a touchdown, and it won us the game. So if a fan tweeted that, I'm like, wow, that actually worked. So These are all things on the fly. We try to keep open. I probably should wrap this portion up. But fine. It's just something where I believe it's about.
We have a
hello light.
Oh, here comes Scott.
I'm going to cut this all out. You can just keep going.
Cool.
Perfect.
Cool. Okay. Do you need to reset?
No.
Okay, we're good.
And so we're really, like, I'm super stoked about what the future is to hold and the things we're doing. I love it, man. It's been a lot of fun.
So
your one's been fun.
Yeah, and again, this is why I really wanted to talk to you, because you came from Toronto, from the Raptors organization. You worked with the Blue Jays, Toronto Rock, Toronto Argonauts, all sorts of things. And you are bringing big city, big time sports entertainment ideas to Regina, to Saskatchewan, to the CFL.
Yep.
And again, that's kind of what we do at Specs by Ryan.
Specs by Ryan. Oh yeah.
Oh, yeah. And we try to bring those, you know, big city, you know, world class options for eyewear for people here too.
Yeah.
So again, a little bit there's a bit of a similarity there in some ways, where what I'm going to be showing people sometimes can cause them a little discomfort because they're not used to seeing that. You're bringing some ideas that are, you know, can cause some discomfort as well.
Yep.
And it's just where we live. We're typically a little more conservative, especially in Regina. Saskatoon, I think, is going to be a little more open to some new ideas. But still, Saskatchewan's a little more conservative and resistant to some change. But generally, whenever it happens and it occurs, people get used to it and then they like it. And then it's just how it is, right?
Yep.
So, now, what was it like? Okay, so let's go back to when you were, you know, going to work in Toronto, got the Raptors, you know, tell me a little about what it was like working for the Raptors.
It was amazing. I started when I was in grade 12. I was on the hype team.
Mm-hmm.
And then I continued on the hype team through university. I played football at Waterloo, which was about an hour and 30 minutes away, geographically speaking, west. And I would go back, and the Raptors continued to have me, and it was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
But what came out of that was I stuck with it. And then I, 1 year in 2013-14 season, I was the Rock mascot at the time. I was working for the Toronto Rock as well. And then the Raptor tore his Achilles. And I ended up being the Toronto Raptor.
The Raptor mascot tore his Achilles. So
they created a cousin, and I was the cousin Stripes. And it was... like, we were the front page of the paper. People were tweeting about the character, and I was performing, and I'm like, oh my God. It was an incredible experience. I learned so much. But, and I talk about that just as an example of what I learned from that experience was when you have something different, it's never going to be the same.
Right.
So there's always that, like, negative honeymoon phase. It's
absolutely
not the good, it's not a good newlywed phase. It's a bad one. And so it takes time where then you start winning people over as you showcase what you could bring to, whether it's a character or a the job you're doing. So long story short is, I got a role with the Raptors. I worked on the Pan Am games in between that as a coordinator on the brand team. Mm-hmm. And believe it or not, oversaw the mascot program as a coordinator there. It was a lot of fun. We did some fun stuff with Patchy the Porcupine. He had a bunch of different quills.
Legendary Patchy the Porcupine.
It was a great experience. And then it turned into, I did a bunch of stuff with producers from LA on the opening closing ceremonies.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Raptors had a job opening as a coordinator, and I got the job. And I was there for 4.5 years in a full-time position. It was 11 seasons total.
Wow.
Honestly, going to work for the Raptors was an amazing experience. Hometown boy. We really looked at things differently. It was about being cool, hip-hop. It was the start of 2013-14 was the start of the We the North
movement. I remember that.
And I got to be a part of seeing the first Jurassic Park happen.
Right.
And the natural, like, nostalgia about the team truly, like, reinvigorating. I saw years, like, when I was in grade 12, like 2008, 2009, people weren't coming to Raptors games.
Well, they were always, like, you know, the Leafs are always the big ticket, and the Raptors were just always that whatever.
Yep.
And I'd like to think that things have changed quite a bit. I mean, people still love their Leafs, but the Raptors are a strong
draw.
Like,
basketball's so diverse. Right. Like, it's you have such a wide base of people coming to games. Right. And it's fun. And so what we would do is we would look at pop culture when we were planning certain things or pitching items to my leadership at the time and saying, here's what's going on. You know, right now you have TikTok going crazy and the trends with these, like, you know, preteens and adults and even teenagers utilizing it. And you look at those trends, you say, how can we be relatable?
Right.
And the one thing I think the Raptors and one thing I was happy to be a part of was being relatable, mm-hmm. from unique cams to great videos to, you know, pitching great ideas when we had Drake evolve with OVO and
right.
working to help our partners look really great. So we had a lot of it was constant change. Right. Every year was something new. Mm-hmm. And we got challenged each year for mm-hmm. that. So that was like my experience at the Raptors. It was incredible. It was constant work. It was hard work. It was a grind.
Yeah.
But when you're young in the industry like me, you have to do it and you have to think outside the box.
Interesting. Very yeah. cool.
Hopefully that answered your question.
No, yeah, you did. Absolutely.
I talk a lot.
No, yeah, that's what we're here for. And and I just love the fact you're going to have so much to tell us. And so far it's been amazing. So back to they contact you mm-hmm. and the writers contact you and yep. and next thing you know, you've got a job waiting for you in Regina. What was that going? What was going on in your mind? You know, again, you're the center of the universe, you know, nothing else matters. And all of a sudden, you're going to Regina.
Regina, you're going to Regina, Russell. That's what my mom said. Russell, why are you going to Regina? Why are you traveling so far away? Oi, my gishkas.
I'm going to make money, Ma.
Ma, the meatloaf. Sorry.
So obviously a great opportunity yeah. that obviously they made it well worth your while to yeah. say, yes, I'm going to do this. Yeah. I'm going to leave a really cool organization that's right. that's on the up and up. And then you're going to go to Regina and now, you know, then and this the show is yours.
Yeah. I mean, I'm quite young. Well, if people look at age, I'm young. I've done a lot of things right. and I'm proud of it. Which helped me get to like where I am, I think now. Mm-hmm. It happened so fast. We were talking about it earlier. It was literally we were in Montreal for a Canada Series game. So it's a Raptors preseason game. We were playing in like Washington or somebody, mm-hmm. and we had the game. And the Rough Riders reached out, said they want to have a chat. We had an informal chat, and it turned into something more. And then
right.
that was a Tuesday. The Sunday I'm in Regina for interviews. Monday, and then I'm back, and we're planning our home opener for the Wednesday. And then within 10 days, I had a job offer.
Right.
And it was so fast. And I think you get to the point where, you know, out there, I felt like I had accomplished what I wanted to do. And right. I continued on being positive and doing as much as I can and learning. But I felt like this was an opportunity where I could learn. I can learn how to be a better leader. Well, continue to develop my leadership skills and also put my, you know, twist. I know football.
Yep.
I played football. I know game presentation from both a football, lacrosse, baseball, right. and a lot of basketball perspective. So it was kind of like the writing was on the wall. I get to be a part of a unique brand with a fantastic, passionate fan base. People are coming to games. So it's like, what can we do to energize fans when they're at games?
Right.
And the opportunities were really like endless. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, that's, yeah, man. Good for you. Like, I've definitely noticed a big change this past year.
Appreciate
and all that stuff. And
it's a true it's team cool. effort. Like, yeah. the, you know, I don't have a lot. I have two young folks who are working with me and then the team, everybody do owning their stuff. Mm-hmm. And just to talk about what it was like to come to Regina, I landed in Regina. And the first thing I thought when the plane was descending, it was a foggy day. It was in October. It was cold. I didn't bring a winter jacket. It was like, I think it was like 15 degrees in Toronto. I'm like, I'll just bring like a couple hoodies and whatever. And, you know, maybe a light jacket. And I kind of landed. It was like minus 15, I think it was.
Yeah.
And I'm just looking around. I'm like, where is everything? Where are the houses? Where, what is this? It's so like, I was like, oh my God, it really is flat. Like I thought people were just, you know, boosting or like, you know, being like, oh, yeah. it's flat. Like, yeah. no, there was nothing. And then you land and all you see in the distance when I'm landing, it was like it was meant to be. It was just like the shining light on Mosaic Stadium. Like, wow, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
And that was like my first, well, I could tell you my first introduction to Regina from the Raptors office perspective when they found out I had the job.
Ooh, okay.
So I had let them know, you know, I'd taken this position and it was a director role and everybody was very proud of me, and which was awesome. Mm-hmm. And then one of the Toronto Maple Leafs former game presentation director, who is now alumni relations and major events for the MLSE, he had pulled me aside and pulled a bunch of people aside, and everybody was laughing. And he's like, "Russ, get in here!" And he put on a big he put on a projector, like or on his on a monitor, whatever it was. He put Experience Regina a video,
yeah.
And I had never seen it. I had no idea.
Experience it's Regina.
And he played it, and everybody just was like hollering, laughing. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, this can't be like, this can't be legit. This has to be a joke.
Yeah.
And it was a legit video, which was a lot of fun. And we love playing. I love that track. I actually love it. And I love sharing it when I go around to other professionals in my industry. I'm like, listen to this song. Also, listen to The Last Saskatchewan Pirate. We are nowhere near water.
Yes.
Other than Wascana, but that's man-made. But like, we're nowhere near water. I don't get it, but I love it. Yeah. You know, it's amazing. Right, Scott? Scott likes it.
Producer Scott.
Producer Scott. Yeah, producer Tim. It's chained down.
Yeah. Yeah, man, that's awesome. We've got some cool things going on here. That's very tongue in cheek in a lot of ways. And,
yep.
And yeah, man, we have fun.
The people here are fantastic. They're so friendly. It's like a completely different side of Canada. You go to Toronto, like, I've been home a bit. It's so different.
Right.
Oh my God! Like every time I go home, it's different. But you realize how, I don't know. Like I met somebody from Toronto, and they're like, "You live in Regina?" Like. Mm. Yeah, I'm like, how about you fuck off? Like,
yep.
Regina is a gem. It's a hidden gem.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it takes time to get used to. I'm young. It's hard to meet some people, but I've met some great people now.
Mm-hmm.
And what it's a transition. But like, Toronto is not the center of the universe.
Nope.
Toronto is it's the biggest city in Canada. There's lots of people there, but it is not the center of the universe. It is not true. Like, it doesn't really resemble the true Canada when you look at across the country. It's very interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's cool, man. Yeah.
I regret saying that. I still love Toronto.
Yeah, Toronto's great. I love Toronto too. Like, yeah, I think it's all Canada. It's all good. Yeah. But it's just a cool thing to discuss, the culture shock, perhaps, that I would wonder what you would notice. You know, it's different. Yeah. You know, it's kind of different for us in Saskatchewan, maybe, to travel to places like Toronto or New York or whatever,
right,
because we see that stuff on TV all the time.
Right.
Some of it's a surprise, but most of it's, no, that's about what I kind of thought it would be. Yeah. It's very busy, all that kind of stuff. But coming this way, I mean, I guess we're a hardy bunch. We put up with this kind of weather every year.
Oh my God.
We also appreciate our summers so much more, all that kind of
summers
stuff we talk about.
Summers are fantastic here. But I can tell you one thing. I used to live, here was my transition. Mm-hmm. I lived at Maple Leaf Square, so it's right beside Air Canada Centre, now Scotiabank Arena.
Right.
And I was a 2-minute walk from work. I owned a bicycle.
Yeah.
I biked everywhere. And believe it or not, bike lanes in a city are fantastic. Mm-hmm. People who get knocked on their face because they're being stupid and weaving between traffic are dumb bikers, in my opinion.
There you have it, folks.
Yep, that's words from Toronto.
Exactly. Yeah.
Bike like a normal person, not a dick face. I came here, and you literally go from being like, I had my Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday spot if I wanted to go. Like,
right.
I had my things. Here I come, I'm like, oh, I'm not going to Hookah Lounge. Oh, the cathedral's fun, but I've been there 18 times. And you try to find those next spots. So it's just different.
Yeah.
It's just different.
Yeah. A little quieter, I suppose. Yeah. So you work for the Raptors, the Blue Jays, yep, and the Rock. Give us some insider kind of stories behind the scenes. What happened with those? Because obviously the Raptors are the big story still. when people know the names, they know who's going on. I remember even you telling me about, you know, we're watching the game, like one of the playoff games last year,
yeah,
up here in the Specs by Ryan Chill Lounge.
Yes.
And then, you know, we're noticing some of the, you know, just the patrons along the sidelines,
yeah,
and you know, oh, that's Bob, you know, he's got the craziest shoes, and
yeah,
it was
Yeah, wrapped, like when you're just at every single game and you're just, you know, you're that guy in the headset wearing a suit, you just, you, I like talking to people so you can get some of your fans. But I guess, yeah, like Raptors, I came from the Raptors, I think we were like 6 or 7 home games into the season. And so before the season starts, we have a crazy marketing day. And you know, that was the day that Kawhi did his ha, 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 right? And so yeah, we get him after in one of our stations. And he comes down to our station. And listen, if you watched Kawhi on TV, I did my research. My job, part of my job with my my manager at the time and our team was to engage our players, make sure our players were comfortable, and give them things that they're going to engage with so we can make them look great, showcase their personalities, and have fun with them. And I called my friends in San Antonio who worked for the Spurs, and I'm like, or who know, well, they're in the Clippers at the time, which is ironic. we'll talk about that in a second. that was fun. But we chatted. I'm like, well, what's Kawhi like? What do you recommend? And they're just like, oh, man, like, it's going to be tough. He's got no personality. And I think he's just very private. I'm sure he has a personality.
Shy, perhaps.
But yeah, we get him in the room, and I'm like, hey, Kawhi. I had to be the guy. I'm like, hey, Kawhi, we want you to do dad jokes. have fun with it. You know, read the joke over once and give us your best delivery and have fun with it. You know, like, we're here for fun. We're the fun people. And he's just like, okay. And I'm like, okay. So he put up the joke, and it's like, the first joke was, and I think this went viral because it was like, all right, here we go. And he goes, it was like, what did the sea say to the shore? And then he goes, and this is his way today. He's like, what did the sea say to the shore? Nothing. It just waved. And we're sitting there, we're like,
and just the awkwardness. Just
we laughed because it was so bad. It was good.
Just the awkwardness. Yeah.
But
yeah, that's gold.
He giggled. We made him giggle.
Nice.
And so he as it's funny, like, and then, like, after that, like, we were in this room with a controlled access door, and then Fred VanVleet got locked in, and I'm sitting beside Fred, and he's just like, man, what the hell? And it's just like, there's just these weird moments, yeah. But, like, there's, like, you know, Fred VanVleet's an amazing guy. Like, we did some stuff with him, and then I see him in the grocery store the next day, and he comes up to me and says, hey, what's going on? So, like, the Raptors guys, that team, I think they gel so well because they're all, like, actually genuine guys. Kyle awesome. Lowry is a character.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Like, I know I didn't know. I, like, realistically speaking here, I talk to the guys maybe 4 times a season.
Mm-hmm.
We don't, you know, there is a distance, and I understand that because you got to understand they're professional athletes. A lot of people wanted to ask them the same questions.
Yeah.
But Kyle is just one of those guys who's really funny and a great leader. And I went to Sick Kids Hospital with them and walked around with Kyle and DeMar one year or saw them do their thing. And it was just really great guys. Yeah. But, like, a great Kyle story I have is my team, I would oversee the interactive team and a lot of other things at the Raptors, and we would do our pregame huddles, and we get really into it. We do some, like, improv games and stuff, and pretty much we did a breakdown. And then during the breakdown, one of my team members was really excited and, like, yelled something. And we're attached to the laundry room. So this is where when DeMar was with the team, and this was last year's.
Just underneath in the Scotia Center.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. And this was where, like, we're attached to the laundry room, which is beside the Raptors locker room. So it's like the Raptors locker room space, laundry room. And then we had this side room where our team was doing stuff. And somebody got really excited. And then one of the support staff, like, runs in the room and just grabs me by my suit jacket and says, come with me right now. And I'm like, oh, boy, this is bad. And then we go to the laundry room. And I'm like, oh, it's definitely going to be Kyle Lowry. I know DeMar wasn't there last year, but he's sitting there and he just looks at me and says, what the heck, man? And I'm like, hey, Kyle. I mean, I'm always, like, really chill with these guys. Like, I'm just going to talk to them like people. I'm not here to, like, freak out or like, oh, I'm so sorry. Like, they'll get a kick out of that. So I was just like, hey, man, like, one guy got excited. I know it's not cool. This is your chill time. Yeah. And he just looked at me. He was trying to give me he was giving me the gears, and then he stopped, and he's like, all right, man, I got you. And then he said, he's like, can you please make sure it doesn't happen again? Like, I'm just trying to chill. And I'm like, yeah, like, I'm sorry. I know this is your thing. And he's like, I appreciate you, man. And that was it. He's just one of those guys who, like, really wants to get in the zone. So I don't know. That's a couple stories from Raptors. I know there's a lot more. Like, for example, we did, like, a Twizzler pass. We had, like, just be clear, like, I had nothing to do with the planning of that. other than the fact we were told we had to do a Twizzler pass. It was like a Twizzler game. It was like a, we did a life-size Twizzler, and it was full of pool noodles, but it was too heavy. It's
a partner activation. Yeah.
It was too heavy, so we had to go buy beach balls.
Okay.
To make it work. Problem is, when you have something long in a cylinder, when you start it up at a certain angle, it's going to naturally roll down.
Yes.
So my colleague and I, hers is on the one side of the building, mine's on the other side of the building, and we pass the Twizzler, and the Twizzler starts rolling down. And at Scotiabank Arena, Air Canada Center at the time, whatever, it's Scotiabank Arena, there's these two, like, gaps in between, like, walkways.
Yes.
Between both sides. And the Twizzler just rolls down, and it's caught in the gap, and I have to, like, make this activation work. And uh-oh. So does she. But we both had the same thing happen. So her pants rip.
Uh-oh.
Her pants rip in the middle of activation, and then I see the Twizzler almost clock the CEO of MLSE, Maple Leaf Sports Entertainment, in the face. And he's just looking at me, and I'm looking at him, and I'm like, this is where it ends. This is where it ends. Yeah. But that's a funny one. And then the Blue Jay story with A-Rod. Oh, my God.
Okay, so what was your position with the Blue Jays, really? What did you do?
I was a mascot handler for Junior, who is the junior mascot.
Okay.
And where we like would chill because it was hot. Mm-hmm. I think it was like a Saturday in July or something Canada Day.
Sun just beats down. There's no air movement in that stadium.
No, and we're just back there, and he, you know, he's been running around. And it's not a kid in the suit, but is a junior suit. I'll just say that. Pretty much, A-Rod was with the Yankees at the time. And our performer's really hot, and his head's off. And, you know, I got a water bottle for him, and we're just chilling there. And A-Rod just walks out of the dugout because they have the dugout, and then they have the change room, which is behind the dugout. And so A-Rod's walking out, doesn't see him. On the way back, he sees him, and he just starts laughing.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey there, little guy. It's not a kid. Man. It's not a kid. It's
a small person.
No. And he's like, hey there, little guy. Ooh, you're a little hot. And he's like, starts giggling. And I'm like, why is he being a dick?
Gee,
and then he's like, do you want an ice cream? Do you need an ice cream? And then he like taps him on the head and walks by.
Oh, God.
And he thought it was the funniest thing.
What an asshole.
But like, I've heard he's not an asshole. So.
Is it just doesn't know how to.
I don't know. It was really, really uncomfortable.
Wow.
It was uncomfortable. But, like, that's, I don't know. There's so many weird stories, man, that, like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, when I was the mascot for the Raptors, like, Lawrence Fishburne, Morpheus, standing beside me, and he's just, like, talking to me. He's like, how long you been doing this? I hear you're the new guy. Da, 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 da. And I just wanted to be, like, do you have the red pill or the blue pill? The whole time, I just wanted to, like, get a big red pill or blue pill and just go up to him and be like, which one should I take?
Exactly.
Which one would you take, Morpheus? Morgan Fishburne. Like, there was some fun stuff like that. Like, mm-hmm. I climbed on Hodor's, like, lap when he was there.
Did you watch lap?
Game of Thrones?
Oh, I haven't seen
it. I'm not a big Game of Thrones fan, but anybody watch Game of Thrones? Hodor was at a Toronto Raptors game, and I was the mascot. And I dressed up, like, with, like, a little shield and a sword. It's online. We'll share that. And Hodor is right in front of me, and I just jump on him, and he started carrying me. It was really fun.
Jeez.
Because that's his job in the show, if you watch it.
And then you're also the Toronto Rock mascot, which
is a generic white douchebag is what I – no, I'm kidding. it's what he looked like, but no, he's a great guy. His name was Iggy, and Iggy is a mascot for the Rock. Mm-hmm. He's chiseled with a dimpled chin.
Yeah.
And
no
abs.
Neck. Yeah.
No neck. Zero neck.
Just very chiseled.
Neck. How are you doing over there, Scott? Oh, he's gave me the finger. That's not nice. Iggy T. Rock would flash his abs at you right now. So the funniest part is that the way they did a naming contest, and somebody wrote in, like, for the name, and Iggy came from an igneous rock.
Okay.
So they decided to name it Igneous Rock. I love the name.
Some rock nerd named him.
I would do dances with the cheerleaders. I would climb in front of people and like do a hip. I had so much fun with that job. I got away with, I would grab people's popcorn and throw it in the air and shake my ass as it flew down. Like we had so much fun, man.
Yeah, you were grabbed as well, I heard.
Yeah, that's the fun part. The things that people say to you when you're a stuffed animal. Mm-hmm. Or not animal, human being. I'm like climbing over people. Well, not even over people. I'm just climbing or just, you know, doing my little thing, like, you know. And then you have girls slapping your butt, grabbing your butt. But then you have like old people grabbing your ding dong. Like they're just going, they're just like, oh. And they, and then
just people, checking if it's there.
People also say the most ridiculous things to you when you're a mascot. They're like, oh, I would do things to you. I would do things to you. I'm like,
Okay, now that brings me back to the old CSI yiffing and scritching in the fur pile. Does that not remind you of that?
Oh, my God, furries.
You know, people, people have their preferences. That's cool. Then, yeah.
If you were a furry, what would you be and why?
Oh, God.
It's interview question number one.
You know, good question. Yeah. Well, immediately what comes to mind would be like, Philadelphia Flyers mascot.
Gritty.
Yeah, Gritty.
Oh, that's a good segue.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I know where you're going. The elephant in the room.
Yeah, elephant in the room.
I'm not saying it until you say it, but man, could you be Gritty? Have you seen, okay, there's a great clip. If you haven't seen it, go home, put on Gritty streaking at an outdoor NHL game.
Nice.
And he had like arranged, there was like security guards running after him. It was so funny. The stuff you can get away with in Philadelphia with the Philly Fanatic and Gritty, yep. Two of the, by far, some of the most iconic mascots in sports right now.
Absolutely. And so Philadelphia came out with Gritty and just got so, I don't know, just got slammed.
They got pounded. Like, we're talking, people wrote in crazy stuff. Like,
how would we describe him, first of all, for those who might not know or whatever? He looks like a Muppet character.
Orange furball with major googly eyes and a weird smile, and he wears a hockey helmet cap, which
just kind of sits right on top, right up here, and his eyes are always googly around.
He looks definitely like a crazed animal,
right?
And people hated it. People absolutely hated it in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. But
Drat, it's the fuzz.
Oh.
Oh, that was.
I gotta go, guys. Yeah.
Oh my God. Sirens outside.
They've heard me talking bad about Toronto.
The Specs by Ryan. Toronto Mafia. Chill Lounge Studios here.
The Toronto Mandem are after me. You know, no, I'm kidding.
Downtown Regina, folks. It's a big city.
Regina.
Regina.
Regina, home of Specs. Sorry.
So he's definitely he's not your typical fun loving kind of character. He's a little scary.
He's scary, but he owns it. Mm-hmm. The things he does, like slamming cakes in people's faces. He's an aggressive character who is playful and fun, but he has that edgy side,
right?
Which is very Philadelphia,
right?
Very Philadelphia, mm-hmm. You know. And then for them, they just owned it. They owned it, and they went.
They
with
rode
it.
The storm. They rode through the storm, and now he's beloved.
Beloved and seen as one of the best mascots. Beloved. In North, like in sports, one of the best. Like, I'm honestly, just to be clear, my favorite mascot performer and guy is the Toronto Raptor mascot.
Right.
It's been this. I'm not gonna say anything more than that. Other than the guy who performs in the suit is amazing. Yeah. I got to work with him for many, many years. Mm-hmm. He was a mentor to me, and he is by far the number one mascot in my heart. Mm-hmm. But there will be no other mascot that is number one other than maybe Gainer now.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And there's a little bit of a hiccup this year with Gainer. But you know what, though? I think everything turned out so magnificent.
That's awesome.
And you know how you know, again, you try something and sometimes things don't stick as well, or they're really not working. But the way you guys adjusted and really turned it around, like the video of him losing his, you know, dropping his contacts and you guys owned it. Like, honestly, I saw all this happen. I was like, this is so brilliant. Mm-hmm. And it's almost to the point where did they plan this?
Was it planned or wasn't it planned? Coming up after this commercial break.
Grab your popcorn. Anyway,
I feel like we should find like an 80s video to play in between that right now. Just hey, fans, it's time for fries and fun.
Exactly. Sorry. I'm Crazy Al. I've always wanted to do a local TV commercial, and we will do that one day.
I'm ready.
So anyway, kudos on that. That was great. And I love Gainer. I love the new Gainer. I think, you know, again, this province, we need to change a little bit. There's a lot of people that did not like it. You made a little tweak and adjustment, and I think it's absolutely gold. So well done.
You know, we trended number one on Canada Day, #Gainer. So That was interesting.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of things that we that Gaynor brings to the club.
Oh, there we go. Thank you, Scott.
Thank you, Scott. Scott's
bringing us more refreshments.
I think we did. I think collectively we were able to really like elevate him.
Right.
As the season went on, we had that great video with Green Contacts. I think it's a clear, you know, this is a community owned team.
Yep.
And we care about the community.
Absolutely.
We did, you know, there was a, you know, I don't want to talk too closely here about anything else, but, I was in charge of creating the new design.
Sure.
We had a illustrator, because we had some challenges with the suit that was currently there. It was in need of replacement.
Right.
And we pretty much just, you know, we reached out to an illustrator who does SpongeBob SquarePants, like cartoons. We made sure. Oh, and there goes the light. Yep. I'm going to stop there.
No. Ah, keep going.
Oh. There we go. Okay. All right. And back. Okay. So we reached, we were working with a illustrator who does SpongeBob SquarePants, and he's like very well known, Nickelodeon characters, you name it.
Right.
And we wanted a reflection of what the, thank you, Scott.
Thank you, Scott.
Scott, you are a man of kind graciousness in your walking and, give up. I got nothing more than that. I was trying to be
Sean
clever.
Connery, please.
Damn you, Trebek.
Letits now, Trebek. that's let it snow.
Yeah. No, Sean Connery, it is not letits now. Will Ferrell.
Japan anus relations.
I missed it.
Let's do another cheers. We got a fresh drink.
All right. Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers, Scott.
Cheers, Scott.
Anyways, we worked with that was very, that's good. Mm-hmm. You made that nice, Scott.
Yes.
Thank you, Scott.
Tight.
Call me Scott. don't rub your nipple in front of me. no, but we were really proud of it. We worked with a great, great illustrator. We thought about a lot of different things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we, of course, pretty much we're proud of Gaynor. Gaynor is a huge asset to the club. He does mm-hmm. a lot in the community. We want to continue to grow his celebrity. We want to continue to utilize Gaynor as a great brand ambassador of mm-hmm. the club. And we're excited for the future for Gaynor as we continue to you know, elevate the character and provide him more opportunities on game days to do more.
Very well said. Thank corporate.
No. I think overall, like, yeah, absolutely. He's such an important part to us, and we really want to keep making Gaynor look great and represent the people of Saskatchewan. He's one of the most well-known mascots in the country.
Right. And yeah, I mean, again, challenging people a little bit. Now, I think towards the end of the season, people just forgot that we have a new Gaynor, and that's no Gaynor, right?
You know, I wouldn't even say it's new Gaynor. I just say it's. I think a interesting thing for me is like I've done mascots. You know, one of my first jobs was the Pan Am Games, and I oversaw the mascot program for Apache. We were activating, we activated a lot of, you know, Apaches around Pan Am Games.
Right.
It was a 16-day event. We focused on each venue and how that character can really bring the games to life and act mm-hmm. as that like brand ambassador for the games.
Mm-hmm.
And we strategically looked at that. When I was brought into the Invictus Games, mm-hmm. I worked with a chief marketing officer at the time, and we created the first ever, and this is Prince Harry's Games.
Right.
We created the first ever mascot from the Invictus Games, who was Vimy. It was Vimy Ridge's 100th anniversary. And we created Vimy. He was a service dog. It was amazing. You know, when you start from scratch, it's different when you're taking something that has been so prolific.
Yes.
And we wanted to do it justice.
And entrenched
now,
in history and tradition. And,
but I think what we what we received, the feedback we received by the end of the season, was he was more approachable to children. And
yes.
And I think, in not saying anything bad about the old Gaynor, I just think it's just a different take on Gaynor, but it's the same Gaynor. Yep. Same Gaynor. It's the same characteristics.
Healthier.
he's still got a bum. He's still got a bum. The paunch is gone, mm-hmm. you know, and he put work in the off season.
Absolutely.
He was in the gym.
You know, times have changed, you know. Did he turn vegan?
No.
No?
No, he's not a vegan gopher.
Really? Is there gophers are carnivores?
I don't even know. I'm making it up.
Yeah, me too.
Gophers are carnivores?
Technically, gophers are Scott's.
Scott says they are cannibals, so they.
You know, I felt like that was Jumanji, where you're the zoologist. You're Kevin Hart, Scott. Yes.
Let's hear it.
Known for their Kevin Hart in the last Jumanji, but yeah, like that was obviously very interesting for me. But we love Gaynor. Gaynor is is Gaynor.
So okay, we'll wrap up here pretty quick, but. It's a big year for you guys. Grey Cup's coming. That's got to be exciting. Is there any kind of big things that you're excited about that you can maybe fill us in on, or is it all top secret, or is there, you know, any again, big city event? You've been traveling too.
Right.
You've traveled a lot over the years to big events, you know, major sporting events, and learning what happens at those things.
Right.
Is there anything that we can maybe expect here at the Grey Cup? Because I know it's going to be like absolutely world-class in all ways.
So one thing we're known for at Grey Cups are Riderville's a team party, which we are going to do, put on the best. Well, that's one of the things we're doing, but there's many things. The Grey Cup 2020 team is working super hard. I'm lucky enough to be on the operation committee for the Grey Cup, as I'll be working with the CFL to produce the game in our amazing stadium.
Yep.
We're super excited about what's to come for the Grey Cup year. I think what's more exciting is our schedule this season and what's upcoming. It's Father's Day weekend for our home opener. What's a better way to open on Father's Day weekend and have the whole family out? So I think there's a lot of things to come. We're working right now through what we're going to do specifically.
Yeah.
You know, we feel as if, you know, there's going to be a lot of unique opportunities. We're really excited about the season.
I had to clap.
We have we're really excited about the season. We got Riderville upcoming at Grey Cup. It's gonna be bigger and better than ever. And you know, there's so many great things the 2020 Grey Cup committee have on the go right now. I'm on the operational committee, and it's you know, from producing the game into the events we have upcoming this season into what our schedule looks like. Home openers on Father's Day. We are fine-tuning our game presentation to highlight more of our players, more stats for those focus fans. We want to create, you know, we're working right now on what our theme days are so that we focus on our fans and who comes to Rider Games and who wants to come to Rider Games and provide the best possible experience. So it's really exciting. When you look at things we want to continue to develop, like, I mean, I've been, like, I was just in, you know, the Houston Texans. They won the best in class in all of football last year for game presentation.
Oh, cool.
So in my world, you connect with these people because very niche market. You go, you check out what they're doing. It's best practice trips, and you see what they're doing. So I was in Houston just for a couple of days. I saw a Texans game and a Rockets game, and I was able to see what they do. They focus a lot on their video board. We have the biggest video board in the country for their games, from stats to – and they have two gigantic video boards. Now, this is a gigantic stadium. They have budgets that are, you know, bigger than ours, obviously.
True.
But – we have the opportunity. We have great people like the Andrew Caters of the world. If you know who Andrew Cater is, he's fantastic. Like, just the teams we have in place that we can do next level things, and we are working on that now. Some of the things we've learned to what works for Texans fans, what works for, you know, the fan in Houston versus the fan that is at a basketball game in Houston versus a fan that's at a football game in Houston.
Right.
So it's been very interesting to learn that. And I think, like, for myself, working on, like, you know, NBA All-Stars, which are, like, six – it's a long event. You have six events in the span of 3 days. You learn a lot of, like, what are fans perceiving? What are they taking in? What are they enjoying? And so what I'm trying to do is just take what best practices we've done in the past little bit and kind of elevate those and then continue to say, okay, what are we doing that we've done for a long time that works? And how can we elevate it? Or what are we doing for a long time? That's time to not change, but reimagine in a way.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really excited. We have a lot of fun to come. We're continuing, like, you know, if you like the Jam with the Riders, we're going to do more things like that. And it's not just going to be Jam with the Riders. We know that our players are actually into it now. Like, they get into it. And funny enough, the first time we did this, we did a marketing day, a quick marketing day where the players came in for a shoot day. And a bunch of the guys were like, yo, like, you work for the Raptors, right? I'm like, yeah. Yeah. And like, wow. Yeah. No, there's like, what was Kawhi like? That was the question I got from one of the guys. And I started laughing and I'm like, yeah, he was exactly what you expect him to be. He's like, what's that? And I'm like, the way he's on TV.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is funny because like DeMar DeRozan, awesome. Kyle Lowry, awesome. All the guys, awesome. Like, nobody asked about those guys. They asked about Kawhi. So mm-hmm. very, very interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dude, you've lived a pretty good life in your 28 years. Like, that's...
I am still hungry. Mm-hmm. I'm hungry to make Rough Rider Games, like, the best possible. I want people to come watch us and say, what are we doing right?
Right.
And, I mean, I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but, like, we got some great feedback from TSN about how our stadium is the most presentable, from the fans having a great time. We have Pill Country. We have more work to do there. How do we make that space even more lively for the young folks or even the folks who just go there to party, but also keep it classy, right? Like, we have a lot of great fans. We have lots of different types of fans who comes to games. If you're like my mom, you come for the cheerleaders. You want to see them dancing and having great time.
Doing their flips.
You want to look at the mascot shake his tushy. And then you have, you know, you have the focused fan who strictly focuses on the X's and O's. And we want to make sure that we are giving those fans more replays, more stats, telling more of a story that way. The A show and the B show need to be together. The A show, when we're talking in game presentation terms, is the kiss cams. You know, when you or you and your significant other is on the kiss cam and you hold up a thing and it says, it's my sister. No, that's a joke. right? But, like, we want to elevate it where we have a kiss cam and let's say you give a very, like, non-vanilla kiss to your wife. We want to grade you. We want to be like, that's an A+.
Ooh.
But then we get Scott.
The fan meter, maybe?
Yeah, we get Scott and his wife, and he gives her a little peck, and we're like C-. You know, we want to have some. We want people to really engage with cams. We want to change cams to make them more that are more like fun and light. But then the B show is, when the game is physically on and we're not in a specific break or timeout,
right,
you want to say, okay, what's our second down efficiency? Is Cody Fajardo throwing seven completions, and what's his stats? We want to have more packs, which a pack is a highlight of a player in particular throughout the game. And we want to come out with stats. So we're telling that story more. We have a great, great system, and we're excited about it. Yeah.
Well, we're very lucky to have you here in Saskatchewan. I could definitely tell right away the changes that were made and that because I just love, again, big city things that we can bring to Regina and because we deserve good things here too.
Absolutely.
And when you're doing that kind of stuff and elevating us to the level of NBA, of NFL, of, you know, any major sport, why not? We got a world-class stadium. We got world-class people.
Absolutely.
And let's
do it. People shouldn't forget that either. Yep. Like when we do, what we're doing for football is very different. Like this is not normal for football. We have taken football and smashed a bunch of things together. With the theme days, it's a splash of baseball. With the energy, it's a splash of lacrosse. With basketball, you have your more fan-centric features.
Mm-hmm.
When you smash a lot together, in hockey, you know, the moments where you can't be on the field, that we're doing things in the crowd. We need to do more stuff like that. So it's a blend of the two. It's a blend of all those. And I think it's just finding the right recipe. Cool. We're trying to season that bad boy, you know?
Well,
bam, Emerald. Sorry.
Yeah, we better wrap this up here right now.
Sure.
We went a little, you know, we go longer because you have lots of content. I just love listening to your stories, man.
I'm sorry.
Thank you so much for joining us on Shady Business.
Shady Business. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I put an extra on there for you, Scott. Hey, Scott, if you were a mascot, what would you be? If you were a color, what would you be?
I could see him as being Grimace.
Grimace. Oh, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
More like an Oscar the Grouch kind of guy. yeah. What about you?
He's pretty big. Mascot. You know what I've always loved are those the old dead presidents running races.
Yeah, you know,
maybe I'd be Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln. Or
you know what San Diego Padres do, the Anchorman race? Mm. It is amazing.
Yeah.
Ron Burgundy, Rick Tamlin.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. It's so good. I got to show you that. Should we end like in an awkward silence? Like, I don't know. I used to watch Craig Ferguson late night a lot. I love that guy.
Thank you for coming. It was really swell.
Of course.
And
I just want to.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks for watching.